visceral, epic, complex, and really long. That's how people describe Herman Melville's often intimidating book, Moby Dick. So, how could anyone adapt that literary leviathan into a musical? WBUR senior arts reporter Andrea Shea spoke with the artist behind the world premiere of exactly that at the American Repertory Theater in Cambridge.
It's one of literature's most famous opening lines.
Call me Ishmael.
That sentence had to be exactly as is.
As he adapted Moby Dick, writer and composer Dave Malloy felt the same about the words that actor Manic Choksi sings next.
Some years ago, never mind how long precisely, having little or no money in my purse, and nothing particular to interest me on shore.
Adapting classic literature is nothing new for Malloy. He also created the Tony Award-winning musical Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812 from Leo Tolstoy's War and Peace.
It's always fun to collaborate with these 200-300-year-old authors, indulging in their language style, sometimes their linguistic style, and playing with that and trying to blur the lines between where Melville ends and I begin.
Malloy waded through Melville's 135 chapters in school, but had a revelation when he reread it about 6 years ago.
I think in college we were very much studying the big weighty themes and everything, and I had not quite realized that it was like a deeply like crude and hilarious novel at times.
Malloy runs with the comedy in his musical Moby Dick. Early in the book, Melville spent pages setting up a scene where his narrator Ishmael frets when he learns he'll be sharing a bed with a tattooed harpooner from the South Pacific named Queequeg. Here's Malloy's take.
Well, I don't want to sleep with a cannibal. I don't want to sleep with a cannibal. Maybe I'm prude, but it just seems kind of rude. And I don't want to sleep with a cannibal.
No, he don't want.
But the fierce-looking Queequeg, played by Andrew Christie, is actually pretty sweet and misunderstood.
Yes, I'm a cannibal, but not the scary kind. Cannibalism is an outdated term, and it needs to be rethunk, I think.
In his rethinking, Malloy also set out to emulate Moby Dick's sprawling, genre-bending form. The almost 3.5-hour experience with live band unfolds in 4 highly choreographed parts. It blends more traditional Broadway with vaudeville, jazz, hip-hop. Conventions are broken, including the fourth wall between actors and audience. Director Rachel Chavkin says some audience members even join the action.
So there is a splash zone that has been advertised, and indeed those 20 volunteers will get ponchos and will be involved in processing a variety of fluids.
The volunteers help massage precious oil from a killed sperm whale's blubber. Chavkin says Melville wrote Moby Dick in a burst of obsessive love for fellow writer and Berkshire's neighbor Nathaniel Hawthorne. Malloy says the song A Squeeze of the Hand is extracted from the chapter of the same name and includes ecstatic metaphors beloved by many gay Moby Dick fans.
I squeezed that sperm till I almost melted in it. I squeezed that sperm till I became insane.
We've tried to kind of toe that line of, like, you know, having fun with the double entendre and with the joke of it, but also really trying to honor the profound sense of community and belonging.
Things get darker as the musical connects Melville's themes to 2019. It delves into capitalism, the environmental crisis, patriarchy, white supremacy. Moby Dick was published in 1851 on the brink of the Civil War. The ship represents a microcosm of a diverse country. Melville grappled with the whale's symbolic pale flesh in his chapter, The Whiteness of the Whale. Chavkin says the crew is intentionally cast with artists of color, except for Captain Ahab.
And it feels really important that this is the manifestation of the promise of American democracy at its best and its inclusivity, but that still at the end of the day is being sort of driven to its doom by an older white man who is consumed by his own injuries and perceived slights at the world.
Ahab is bent on killing the white whale at all costs. In the book, his first mate, Starbuck, is a white man who questions Ahab's judgment. Star Busby plays Starbuck in the musical, and she sings a plea to God for her captain.
That he never, never finds what he is looking for.
The Reverent and Irreverent musical also reckons with the idea that Moby Dick is much more than a novel. According to Melville scholar Wynne Kelly, who recently saw the adaptation, she's on MIT's literature faculty and is a founding member of the Melville Society Cultural Project in New Bedford, where Melville himself once set out to see. Kelly feels the musical captures the author's spirit.
A production that goes beyond the limits of what language and narrative can do is completely, it seems to me, consistent with what Melville was doing when he wrote Moby Dick.
But do we need to read Moby Dick to appreciate the musical?
I hope not, because a lot of people talk about Moby Dick without having read it. It's such a part of the culture.
The new musical could inspire folks to crack the hallowed classic or even to break out into song. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.
First thing I saw was this big harpoon, and it scared me a little.
Scared him a little.
Next thing I saw was this crazy tattoos, and it scared me a little.
Scared him a little.
Last thing I saw, he was holding in his hands, it was a bundle of shrunken human heads. And that scared me a little. Scared me a little bit too.